The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. How many of you have heard of or remember the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band? Wow, we got an old crowd here. No, not so old. Yeah, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, they began in 1966, and they're still around, just like me. Well, the phrase I want to take from their name is Nitty Gritty. You know, we use that still today. I don't know if younger people know it. But when we say we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty, we mean we're going to get down to basics. We're going to get down to what's most important. Now, it's interesting, and I'll let you look it up. The phrase nitty-gritty has nothing to do, really, with its original meaning. In fact, it comes from the French. It has something to do with slaves. How it got from that meaning to getting down to basics, I don't know. But it's very interesting, the etymology of the phrase. But in the next couple of weeks, we're really getting down to the nitty-gritty of our faith. Because as we approach our high holy days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, we're getting to really what is central to our faith. And one of the things that's very central, which we hear about in the readings today, is suffering. Suffering is essential. Well, every human being suffers. It's because of Adam and Eve, their failure to uphold the covenant. But every Christian knows that Jesus suffered, and it was part of his work of salvation. And we honor that. And he says to us, if you want to follow me, you too got to suffer. You have to carry your cross. And it's not that we have to like suffering, by no means. That's not the point. But the point is that it is part of the world. And we know that because the Messiah suffered and bore it and glorified God, even in the midst of it, we can too. And what the writer to Hebrews says is that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Now, he was already fully obedient. But as a human being, he went through what we went through as part of being a human being. And he did it not because he liked it, because it says in the gospel that he was troubled. because he knew what was going to happen. So it wasn't that he wanted to suffer, but that he knew that if he was to do what he was called to do, to be obedient to the will of his Father, he would have to undergo suffering. So suffering is essential for our work with the Lord, to follow in his path. And in accepting it, and it doesn't mean we don't go to the doctor if we have a disease or whatever, not the point. But no matter what we do, we're going to suffer. It could be a physical, it could be emotional, it could be loss of a job, it could be people turning away from us. There's all kinds of suffering. But we Christians have the, I suppose you could say, the knowledge and the joy to put that into context, because we know after Good Friday comes what? Easter, resurrection, joy. And so to get to Easter, part of the journey involves suffering. Now, again, for us as human beings, we won't know the fullness of joy until we are with the Lord in heaven. So right now, we are working towards heaven by trying to be as obedient as possible. And obedient means listening to the will of God and then doing it, working on it day after day. So we can be just like Jesus. He was totally obedient to the will of his Father, and so can we. And we know already that the only way to become compassionate is to go through suffering and keep giving it to the Lord and accepting it and saying, I don't like it, but Lord, I use what I have. In this case, it's as suffering. I offer it to you as a gift. And we can do that. And we also know that through compassion, we also can learn obedience to the Father. So compassion and obedience really only come through suffering, and suffering faithfully. And Jesus says in the gospel today that if you want something to grow, the seed has to fall to the ground and die. It can't just stay a hard kerneled seed. It's got to die. It's got to open up in order for fruit to come from it. And again, suffering can offer us that possibility of bearing good fruit, dying to ourselves, carrying our cross, doing things that we might not like to do, but really do open us up more and more to the glory of God. And of course, God is with us in our suffering. He really makes it possible for us not only to accept suffering and embrace it, but even, many people can do this, to glorify God through it, to thank God for it. And of course, Paul says exactly that. He says, in all circumstances, give thanks to God, because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So even in suffering, we can say, thank you, God, because God takes everything and we bear fruit when God gives us what he wants us to have, and we use what we have in order to bear fruit. So again, suffering is not something that we want to have. We pray, Lord, deliver me from suffering. But at the same time, we know it's part of life, and we can use even suffering in order to grow in our faith. Now, the world doesn't think that way. Suffering is just something bad. Get rid of it. Do what you can do to get rid of it. But we have something else to say to people, especially those who suffer alone, who don't know that their suffering can be connected to that of Jesus, our Savior. They don't know that. We know that. And so that's part of what we're supposed to be telling other people. And it's not just about information. Information can stay up here and it doesn't bear fruit. But when I allow that information to transform me, then something is happening. And then I can walk with people who are suffering, be compassionate, suffer with them, hold their hand, just as I need someone to be with me in my suffering. So this is all part of our story of our original covenant with Adam and Eve, which was broken, and so death and suffering came into the world, and yet Jesus destroyed the power of sin and death and fear of anything, so that we can be more and more like Jesus, proclaiming the gospel message. So again, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty, the foundations of our faith, our high holy days. Again, Holy Thursday, which is a week from this Thursday. And if you've not been to a Holy Thursday celebration, come. It's beautiful because we remember what Jesus did at the Last Supper. And again, He did something which nobody expected a Savior to do. He got down on his knees and washed the feet of his apostles. A slave would do that, not a Messiah, but Jesus did. And then on Good Friday, we have the crucifixion where Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So even in his suffering, he was willing to forgive others. And then, of course, we have the resurrection where Jesus destroys the power of sin and death. So that's the nitty-gritty of our faith. And part of that nitty-gritty is willingness on our part, if we want to be faithful disciples, a willingness to suffer. And again, to talk about it, not to keep it to ourselves and say, oh, don't bother. Say, be honest. There's some Christian song out there now where the guy goes, everybody says, how you doing? He says, I'm fine. And he says, but I'm not fine. I'm not fine. How often do we do that? You know, when people say, how you doing today? Oh, okay. When we really want to say, no, I'm not. Let's be honest about that, because suffering is something we need other people to help us with. And in the exact same way, we need to help other people with it as well. So we're learning obedience, we're learning compassion, and we're supposed to take it out in the world. That's what Jesus did. He healed people of suffering so that they could better see the goodness of the Lord. And we too can help other people see the goodness of the Lord. So we can engage in giving people information and then showing them what transformation is in the light of Jesus Christ. What a gift we have, so that we're not afraid of the darkness and suffering and dying, but rather we see it simply as part of our call to be faithful to Jesus Christ. So as you go forth this week, think about that. Think about our high holy days coming up and how we are called to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the nitty-gritty of Jesus Christ and his story, because that's our story too. And that's the story we want to live, and that's the story we want to share, the story we want to take out into the world.